Thank you. Let's pray just for a moment. God, we are aware that you're here. We feel it. We're singing it. We're receiving it. We just thank you for this moment when the world stops and you are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Satida, and this team of musicians. What's trending in the world this week? What's trending? Oh, it's a dress. Oh, it's a dress. Did you make up your decision? You're a blue and black? Who wear the white and gold people? There's a few of you. No haters on the Sabbath. What's trending this week? It's a dress, some people say. What else is trending this week? Come on, it's not just been the dress. American Idol? Excuse me. What's trending this week? There's something about Leonard Nimoy. There's something about a llama. What's the llama drama story? Do you know this? Llamas loose. Now you can all go and search for the video while I'm preaching. I shouldn't have said that. Llamas loose in Sun City, Arizona. A male and a female, a white and a black donkey loose. They're calling it llama drama. Do you know this? Someone just told me at 9:30 when I said, what's trending? They said, llamas. Not in La Sierra. Apparently you can find a picture of llamas with Spock ears wearing a white and gold dress. That's what's trending right now. What's trending this week? I don't know. The Oscars are trending. The government. Something about Homeland Security. Yes or no is trending. Something about ISIS is trending. What's trending this week? According to CNN, they're going to help us with that because last week on Wednesday, Christian disciples around the world opened their calendars and circled a day that marks off 40 days between now and the Passion Week of Jesus, that big Easter weekend that the world celebrates. At least Jesus will be trending for 40 days, for 6 weeks, 1 hour, well, not 6 weeks, six episodes, 1 hour at a time. Faith, fact, or forgery, CNN's headline. Here's from their website. Because Jesus of Nazareth is the most famous person of the last 2,000 years, and his influence on culture, politics, education, and literature continue to this day. But he left no physical trace, or did he? That's the question at the forefront of finding Jesus. Faith, fact, forgery, the latest scientific and archaeological research, along with first-class panel of contributors, all will provide exceptional commentary. They're looking for new clues on an old topic, Jesus. Jesus will be trending these weeks. Every time we get to this time of year, year by year, we are reminded in the news, Jesus is trending. If the Apostle Paul were writing the headline for CNN, he would summarize that headline, I think, in just two words. The Apostle Paul's headline would simply be, Christ crucified. Christ crucified is what's trending these weeks as we prepare for the awful death of Jesus. It is the same story that CNN wants to talk about, Christ crucified. Now, some people say that Christ crucified is Paul's summary for all time, for everything Paul wrote, which is about two-thirds of our New Testament. It all can be summarized in these two words, Christ crucified. In fact, if Paul could, he'd print it on a t-shirt. It's his mission and vision and value statement. It's his slogan. It's his motto, Christ crucified. Some people, some scholars tell us everything Paul wants to say to us, he can say with those two words, Christ crucified. I don't think it's Paul's summary for all time, but I do think it's Paul's summary for a specific place, Corinth. When Paul writes to the people in Corinth, Christ crucified is his summary. Christ crucified, it comes out this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. We proclaim Christ crucified. And again in chapter 2, for I decided to know nothing except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul can say whatever he wants now, any summary he wants to the people in Corinth, and we'll stay for a while with our sisters and brothers in Corinth, 4 or 5 weeks. He could say whatever he wants, and he chooses to summarize to the Corinthians, I know nothing but Paul, but Christ and him crucified. He talks sweetly to other people like those who live in Philippi, but to Corinth he is harsh. And all his harshness gets reduced. He wants to interrupt their culture, and he interrupts with these two words, Christ crucified. He says it again and again in the letters to Corinth. Here's another way it comes out. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement and there should be no divisions among you, that you should be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, brothers and sisters. What are you quarreling about? Why are you arguing? Paul unpacks in this letter. He's in Ephesus. Why can I hear you yelling all the way over here in Ephesus? Why do I have to come and go so many times? Why, when I send my colleague Timothy, is he afraid to greet you? Why does he come back shaking, the Bible says? Why does he bring bad news of what's happening in Corinth? Paul asks in this letter. What's going on in Corinth? That's what we want to ask during these weeks. When Paul attempts to change their culture, he reaches for one of the most evocative summaries and images, Christ crucified. I think it's interesting. He can say, I know nothing but Jesus Christ. He can say, I know nothing but Jesus and the one who bursts forward out of empty tombs. I know nothing but the Jesus who takes the grave tops off and ascends to heavens. I know nothing but Jesus who sits at the right hand of God. I know nothing but the transcendent, powerful, victorious Jesus. Now there's a story. Corinth, if you need some power, tap into that. Why doesn't Paul describe Jesus this way? I know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's not just I know nothing and Jesus, but Jesus dead. It's Jesus crucified. I know nothing but Jesus the criminal. Jesus the one charged for sedition and blasphemy and insurrection. I know nothing but Jesus, the one tortured and gruesomely punished. If you were here last night at first service, Pastor Sam said, it's a public display for sure, so everyone who passes by will know. Don't mess with Rome. Paul says, I know nothing but that one, that prisoner put to death on a cross. Today it would be the electric chair, only this is a much more gruesome, the process is drug out. I know nothing but that, Paul says. Christ, the prisoner, murdered, killed, hanging on a cross. Paul can intervene any way he wants. It's not an alive Jesus. It's not just a dead Jesus. It is a murdered, killed, tortured Jesus. Why this summary of the gospel, La Sierra? Paul seems to be telling us that we will not have a resurrected Christ before we consider the crucified Christ. We don't do this so often in Adventist Christianity. Consider carefully the crucified Christ. Paul wants us to stay here for a little while with our brothers and sisters in Corinth. We can't have the resurrected story before we have this story first, according to Paul. And it looks like Jesus is a loser, and it looks by the standards of the world, not just defeat and losing, but in this material, the letter to the Corinthian people, Paul will say it looks just stupid to today's standards. It looked stupid to their standards. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's power. And verse 20, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the debater of the ages? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? He keeps going. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you are wise by human standards. Not many powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in worth to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, so that things that are not, to reduce nothing, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom for God. The society is organized in a specific way, and Paul writes to Corinth and eventually comes to town and says, I will have none of this. I will only know Christ crucified. We rode on an airplane, last time we rode on an airplane, a couple months ago, going up home, up north, right, to Portland, to the site of the Lord's second coming. That will be Portland, right? Last time we flew home, we were on a larger plane, and we were sitting, we all know how airplanes are divided, right? There's first class, and then there's the rest of us class, right? Where do we usually sit? The rest of us class. It's not coach, it's the rest of us. There's first class and it's the rest of us, right? We were in the rest of us class, but we were just like three or four rows behind first class, and they had not closed the great divide that separates the species yet. So the great divide was open, and we could smell the baking chocolate chip cookies, and we could smell the peanuts and the cashews that are getting warmed up, right? You can hear the pop of the cork off the champagne. Everything about first class was making its way back into the rest of us class. There is a woman, an older woman, sitting to my right, a few seats over. Now, she's the older of the older category. Are we together? She's the older of the older. But she's married to a guy who's also the older of the older, and he's sitting a few rows up in front of the great divide. Okay? So she's sitting with me, he's sitting up there. But they're okay. Everything's calm in their family. She needs a pair of slippers, so she gets out of her seat and she goes up and gets the little slippers, and she comes back and sits down, gets back. We haven't taken off. This is all on the ground in Orange County. She gets the seatbelt on, sits back down. Oh, then she wants the Bose headset. She unbuckles. She goes up to first class. Excuse me, can I have the Bose headset? She comes back down. She buckles back up. Now the flight attendant is watching all of this. Now the flight attendant has a little attitude like I have, but the flight attendant should keep her mouth shut. Instead, she said, mm-mm-mm. She's looking at this little older lady saying, mm-mm-mm. And the little older lady says, it's okay. It's okay. It works for us. So she gets up one more time, goes up, gets the Advil, comes, buckles back in, flight attendants walking through the aisle, closing everything up. Mm-mm-mm, this wouldn't happen in my house. Mm-mm-mm. It's okay, it's okay. The little older lady feeling a little sheepish. She just, he's the man of the house. And it's working. To this, the flight attendant, who should keep her mouth shut, says, well, he might be the man of the house, but you're the queen of the house. And where I grew up, the queen of the house sits up front. All right? We didn't ask her for opinion, but we got it. We all got it. And it didn't make for a very comfortable ride for the little elderly lady, did it? All right, this is how the world is divided, right? There's we could say upper class, middle class, lower class. We could say it that way. We're all sort of in the same boat together with our political opinions and our religious convictions and all the rest of our ideas. We're all sort of mixed up in this world together. In Paul's society, the world is not organized this way. In our world, we're sort of all on the same airplane together, but in Paul's world, imagine it a little differently. There is the emperor of the entire region, right? We have Roman emperor who's divine, and then we have people who fall in line under the emperor, important and wealthy people. They're important in the government, and they may be important to religious shrines or to different religions or in a temple. They may be important because they're extremely wealthy. They own businesses and so forth. And they all begin to align in different columns. So we could say that you in the first few rows, you align under one patron, one very wealthy person, and you take all your families with you, and that's your guy. But those of you next back in the next five or six rows, you align under a different guy, under the empire. You have your own sort of wealthy patron, and you take all of your shop owners and your craftspeople and the men and the women and the children and the slaves, free people, slaves, you're all together. We could organize the whole church this way, and when we do that, we should realize you're on your own airplane together. You're on your own airplane together. This group with your own patron, you're on your own airplane. We could think of dozens and hundreds and thousands of airplanes that move over and around Corinth. Each of them have their own clusters of people. That's the way their society has been organized. So if this is your patron and this is your guy, you all stick together and these are your rules and this is the way your households and businesses and your life will be ordered. Everyone clustered and devotion to specific leaders and people whose own, they own them and they own their lives and they own their businesses. From the emperor on down, this is how the hierarchy works. In the Roman society, everything separated in these clusters. And into this world, Paul arrives. Paul arrives and he refuses to cooperate. He refuses to compete. He looks at the way their society is clustered and organized. He looks at how they've chosen how the hierarchy will go. And Paul says, this is not of God. And you see, Paul comes to town and they think, oh good, here's a new option. We'll just line up under Paul because Paul's under Jesus and Jesus is under God. And maybe this one will work out better than this one that I've been in for a while. So maybe I'll just jump ship and I'll try this new one under Paul and this Christian community and see how it goes. Paul comes to town and says, no, it will not be happening this way. I will not enter your competition. And for this, the relationship with Corinth is rough with the Apostle Paul. He says, I won't play your game. And he reaches for this symbol, the cross crucified, this evocative symbol where God empties God's self for all of us to the point that Jesus is a murdered criminal hanging on a cross by the time the story is over. Paul says, we may be the men in our societies and the queen in our societies, but Jesus is Lord of all. There will be none of the rest of this hierarchy. Stop it. Everyone get up. Everyone get out of your seats. Everyone's going to shift. It will be fruit basket upset for everyone in Corinth by the time the Apostle Paul is done. I will not compete with this because in my story, Paul says, in the story of Jesus, the winner actually looks like the loser to the world. In my story, the leader is actually the servant. In my story, the person who is hungry is the most satisfied and full. The person with the tears who mourns is content and grateful on the inside, Paul says. In my story, it's ordered differently. And it will disrupt everything they know about how to do life. Paul tells Corinth, I'm with Jesus. I'm with Jesus, and if Jesus goes to a cross, then our lives will start to take on the shape of this Jesus. The crucified Christ will lead all of us to a cruciformed life. So it's not just believing that Jesus hangs on a cross and he saves us from our sins. It saves people from sins, but it also shapes citizens. It's not one or the other. It's Paul. The crucified Christ will lead us all to the cruciformed life, a life shaped like the one of Jesus. Friends, if God just needed Jesus dead, that could be done so much easier. We've said this before here. But that Jesus goes to a cross and dies this way means something. The cruciformed life. It'll lead us to cruciformed families and cruciformed campuses. It'll lead us to a cruciformed community. It takes us into cruciformed places of work and out into the community. Everything about our world, the hierarchy is blown to pieces. And everyone begins to share. And it's so disrupting. Tell me that all of us in here are fine with this. No competing. We all just want to be average. Who strove to be average this week? You did. Well, you know, you didn't make it. Dan, you made it. You're beyond average. Nobody wants to be just average. We had board meetings on every one of our campuses this week, here at the church, down at the academy, up at the university. I sat in more meetings this week. My backside is so sore. My backside is so sore that I'm making a cup of tea on Thursday night, jogging in front of the stove. And my husband says, "What in the world are you doing?" It's like everything, when you make tea is when you're supposed to relax, right? Not if you've been sitting on your seat for 4 days. We had meetings all across our campus and community. I didn't sit in one meeting this week where any of us aspired to be average or less than average or non-competitive with the options in our community. This even goes against the way we are wired here at La Sierra. The crucified Christ leads to a cruciform life, cruciform families and communities and schools. Cruciform relationships with our friends, with the ones we date, with the ones we're married to. It's a consequence for these people. When we sing about the cross, friends, today, as we did, we're singing about all of this, the cruciform life. Advocating for this kind of world, the world God has a vision for, is what got Jesus killed in this manner. And it doesn't go so well for Paul either, a favorite author who died last month. Marcus Borg, who's been influencing me for the better part of 15 years. Marcus Borg warns us we should be very careful when the transformation that Jesus offers us, when the transformation God has in mind, when the transformation available to us, to all people, is so frightening, we will kill the messenger and the message in order to keep status quo. We should be so careful. I should be so careful today, or I kill the message and the messenger all over again. The cruciformed life. Now for these next 4 weeks, let's talk about it. Where you're going to lunch today, ask the question, Christ crucified, what does it mean to you? The cruciformed life, what does it mean to us? Where would it begin to take shape? What's most urgent that I should pay attention to right now? The cruciformed shaped community, the cruciformed community. I saw a little image of this a couple years ago. We were on vacation. We were traveling to catch up with my husband, who was studying, doing research far away. And we had decided we would all get together in Italy over the holiday. I've never been. Most of us has never been in my family. The highlight of the trip, however, was going to Vatican City. The highlight of the trip was being at the Vatican, being at the Vatican Museum and being at St. Petersburg Basilica. Now, I'm just going to be very honest with you. This is really a trip of a lifetime. I've not spoken much about it because I grew up Adventist. So I took some stuff with me on my trip that I should never have had to deal with. And I am sorry if you are growing up Adventist Christian and we have taught you something wrong spirited about our brothers and sisters in other denominations. So the trip to the Vatican was very significant for me. The highlight of the trip, my family decided I would enjoy going to Mass on Christmas Eve. Amazing, Mass on Christmas Eve in St. Petersburg Basilica. It is bigger than we can all imagine. Those of you who have been there, it's just the most incredible thing I could imagine was being in the basilica while a worship service was happening. Not just one praise team, you're fine, come on up. Not just one praise team, but three full choirs. All the organ and the extra instruments and the orchestra, everything alive that night, Christmas Eve, and we all knew it would be Benedict's last Christmas Eve, and he'll give a little homily, none of which I could understand. But I could read it all live, almost live cast while he was speaking in Italian. I could read in English. We had tickets. You have to get tickets and stand in a long line to get into this New Year's Eve Mass. So we had tickets. We came up to the Basilica. We got to the security line. As we know, pilgrims from everywhere at the holidays, at Christmas and Easter, the whole square is crawling with people during these holy times. We got in the line of the security. We reached for our ID, and then we reached to show our tickets. You must do that. And when we reached in, we came up empty-handed. We forgot our tickets at the hotel, the other side of Rome. We are not missing this. We are not missing this. We came from La Sierra to Vatican City, so we decided half of us would stay in line and hold the line, and the other half of us would go back to the hotel. So I was in the group to go back. I grabbed a child, a young adult child. We ran outside. We flagged a taxi. We're going. I said to the taxi driver, "Can you drive fast?" He said, "How fast?" I said, "Dangerously fast, dangerously fast. Can you do this?" He said, "I can do it. Get in." Stepped on the gas before we even buckled in, turned that meter on, and he flew. It had taken us an hour and 15 minutes to get to Vatican City on trains and by foot. He lays on the gas. We get to the hotel, we run upstairs, elevators are stuck, you know how, well, it's all the worst case scenario. Grab the tickets downstairs in slow motion, slide into the car, step on it. I haven't even finished my sentence and he's tires all the way out the driveway from the hotel. Great, it was great, the best ride around Rome you could ever ask for. Whew, sightseeing, we have sightseeing in Rome. Pulls up to the front of the Vatican. He knows all the back roads. He gets us to the alley. He kicks us out of the door. We run to the line. They've already opened the doors. Everybody's going in. It can't hold everybody for as huge as that building is. They've already begun to rope things off. And we're so afraid we're not going to get in. I run up. We walk through the doors. They begin to close the line down just behind us. And as quickly as we've stepped in, they begin to rope us off. We are up against the back wall of the Basilica as far as you could get from the Pope. But we got in. And sweet little people coming in front of us, some of them were clerics who took their work clothes off and put their collars on and stood up real proper because maybe they're going to see the Pope tonight. And some nuns. For these sisters, this is one standing right in front of us. See the people with their cameras out? Everybody's waiting for Benedict to enter. Benedict did enter. Here's our picture. I was standing from here to you, Satida, all the way in the back of the cathedral. Could you imagine you could be in the back of the cathedral and still he would be this close to us and we could watch and take it all in? More important than that, behind us, back up against the wall, there's a little boy. I think he's 5 or 6. But when we all begin to crowd in and they begin to rope us off, he realized he's in the very back of the cathedral and everybody as tall as Adam is in front of him. What can he see? Nothing. He begins to cry and he puts his head down. There is a deacon comes over to him and gets down on his knees and taps this little boy on the shoulders, trying to get his attention. Little boy won't look at him and he hides behind his father. So the deacon leaves. We wait a few minutes and the deacon comes back and he gets back down on his knees and he whispers into this boy's ear. Little boy looks up. He wipes a tear from his face. He just nods his head yes. The deacon takes him by the hand. He nods at the father. And they begin to walk. And they walk down the center aisle of St. Petersburg Basilica, all the way to the front row. And for the entire Mass, this 6-year-old boy sat right here, and the Pope sat right there. That deacon had the cruciformed life, where the least among us sit in the front row. The cruciformed life is going to irritate us. It's going to challenge every sensibility we have to be excellent in the world. It's going to challenge our sensibility to succeed and for our families to succeed. The cruciformed life, however, is what La Sierra has always been about. So grab it, people. Let's do this life. We know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. Amen.